Hey, welcome back to Student Voice Podcast. Today's episode is about ableism. I'm your host, Anissa. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm 17 years old. My pronouns are she, her, and today I have a guest star, Miss Maddie.
Hi, I'm Maddie. I'm also from Phoenix, Arizona, and my pronouns are also she, her.
Yeah, Maddie, would you just like to share with us what SMA is and give us a little definition of ableism, how you define it?
So I have a neuromuscular disease called SMA, also known as spinal muscular atrophy. There are three main types. I have type 2. It's kind of like the middle ground. So basically, it affects your respiratory system and it affects your, basically strength is the simple definition of it. So when people can walk, I'm weaker, so I cannot. So I can't lift my arm above my head, simple things like that. But it is the number one most common rare disease, which is a little bit of an oxymoron for you, but that's what it is. And a quick definition of ableism is discrimination in favor or of able-bodied people.
Maddie, as someone who faces ableism, can you just kind of talk to us about like what language is acceptable and what language is considered ableist? I know there's like people first language and things like that. And of course, slurs are a no.
Yeah, so a lot of it depends on what kind of disability you have. Certain people prefer certain things. As myself, I don't really care what people call me as long as it's respectful and obviously not a slur. Ableism is a big one. Disabled is a good one. Those are all fine. It really just depends on the person. I would ask them. Everyone is different. Everyone has a different disability. So yeah.
But basically, what language considered ableist and what language is it? I know people first language is something that some people prefer. You just have to ask when it comes to the person. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically referring the opposite of referring to people with their label. It can be considered ableist to say, for example, this is my autistic sibling rather than saying this is my sibling with autism. So yeah, put the person before their diagnosis or whatever you want to say. But I don't know. How do you feel about that, Maddie? Yeah,
everyone's different. I always prefer being called by my name before my disability, because obviously my disability doesn't define me. But everyone's different. You just have to ask. You shouldn't feel ashamed of asking someone. It's a question people get a lot. And everyone is different, so you never really know until you do ask.
I find this interesting because a couple of days ago I was on TikTok and there was like a discussion happening between a creator with autism, and she was saying that she didn't mind being called and she actually preferred being called autistic, like didn't like people first language. So I don't know. I guess it really just depends on the person. You just gotta ask.
Yeah, it's different for everyone. I mean, some people get super offended by it. Others are super chill with it either way. It's really just kind of go with the flow and ask the person and then go from there.
And then obviously the use of slurs is ableist. I think we can agree on that.
Yes, agreed.
Okay, I want to just get into a little bit of history because our country has a history of ableism, one can say. So one of the more important acts is the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, which set an important legal precedent for disability as a protected category against discrimination on the basis of disability in programs conducted by the federal government. And ADA, which was passed in 1990, stands for the Americans with Disabilities Act. The ADA kind of just adds on to the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. And Maddie was telling me that like most of these acts are just kind of like adding on a little bit of at a time to like something that was already passed. But something that helped the ADA get passed was the 1990 Capitol Crawl, which is a physical demonstration that demonstrated the barriers that inaccessible buildings create for people with disabilities. At this time, the Capitol building was not accessible, so these people went down there and protested. These people with disabilities protested, and they cast aside their walking aids and literally crawled up the steps of the Capitol to prove, like, hey, we need to make things more accessible. This happened March 13th, and it was over 1,000 people marching from the White House to the U.S. Capitol to demand that Congress pass the Americans with Disability Act. also known as the ADA, like I said. And basically, when this act was passed, it just prohibited discrimination against individuals with disabilities in employment, housing, education, and access to public services. And it requires that reasonable accommodation be made so as to provide individuals with disabilities equal opportunities. But on that note, we still have ableist laws in place. As like, even though great things like the ADA was passed, we still have the Fair Labor Standards Act, which was passed July 24, 2009, and it establishes minimum wage, overtime pay, record keeping, and youth employment standards affecting employees in the private sector and federal, state, and local governments. So under Regulation 14C of the Fair Labor Standards Act, businesses are allowed to apply for permits to pay disabled employees well below the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. So sometimes people with disabilities are paid really low, which is obviously unfair because their cost of living is not lower than ours. Ours is an able-bodied people. So I don't know. I just find that kind of crazy. And I actually learned about this from Creators with Disabilities, and I was kind of shocked to hear about this. I don't know. I was like, huh? But I'm not really surprised, you know, given all the laws in place in this country.
It's definitely crazy. I mean, disabled people have to pay for caregivers. They have to make sure everything in their house is accessible. And sometimes the stuff still happens.
I mean, if anything, there should be like a minimum wage that like people with disabilities must be paid in order to match that higher standard of living that they have to pay for all their health costs and things like that. Like you said, caregivers. I just think that's kind of crazy.
It definitely is.
Moving on from that whole history section, we just want to talk about common misconceptions about disabilities. So prior to recording for this episode, we asked people with disabilities, those that are related to people with disabilities, parents, siblings, things like that. And they all kind of just had some things to say that they wanted us to mention. And I think it's important that we learn from people with disabilities and people around those with disabilities. So I'm going to let Maddie share the first response that we got from a parent.
So one parent said, when random people apologize or are overly nice, there's no reason for it. People say like, oh, poor thing. She's smarter than your little mouth breather. It's a slew of things, but I think it's something humans struggle with. And it's not just ableism, but ignorance. I mean, that's what it all boils down to. So I kind of summarized what this parent said, and it's really true. I mean, people look down on disabled people when we have just as much capacity to do what they do.
I feel like this is why we have this podcast, to help people find resources, to help people learn things, because ignorance is the number one killer. Like, honestly, ignorance is just...
It really is.
Okay, so this is from the sibling of someone with special needs, and they said that people feel the need to belittle and baby people with disabilities as if disability literally means no ability to do anything. And they were kind of just talking about how their parent was dealing with this ableist woman who basically saw that, oh, this neurotypical kid can make decisions for their life, but when it comes to the special needs sibling, the sibling with special needs, it's as if the parents have to do something with their future, have to make decisions for them. But obviously that's not true. People with disabilities can't have ownerships over their own lives. And then this is another one from another sibling who said their brother is high functioning autistic, and they've noticed that there's a huge lack of education for even family members. And this even came from their doctor, who told them, oh, the school was going to help them out with providing them with the help that they need and counseling and all that, but the school did not provide them with that. So it's especially important that parents understand the realities of disabilities, especially mental disabilities, and there's a need for more resources to be available for the parents to help their children in the best ways they can.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking from my own perspective, I think one of the biggest issues is that people automatically assume that everyone disabled, you're unable to talk to them. People have this idea or stigma that disabled people can't communicate with you. I've had many of times where I'm out with my sister and people will come up to my sister and ask her what my name is. And I'll have to be like, hi, I'm here. I'm able to talk to you. My name's Maddie. But that's just a big issue that people don't realize. And a lot of times they don't mean to be rude or mean to ignore you, they just don't understand, which is where I have to come in and be like, yes, like, let me educate you on this. Like, you can still talk to people, you can still ask them questions, everything, and everyone communicates a little bit differently.
Yeah, thank you for sharing this. As someone that goes to school with you and, like, is obviously your friend, you know, I noticed this a lot, and I'm just so happy that you shared that with us. So, Maddie, earlier you shared that you have SMA, which means that you're unable to walk. And as a wheelchair user, what experience of inaccessibility would you like to share with us?
There are countless experiences. One that comes to the top of my mind, my sister had a softball tournament in California. So we ended up having to rent an Airbnb. We looked it up. We did our research. We made sure everything was accessible. It said accessible. We talked directly to the person that owned the home and said there are stairs in the front, but in the back, there's only one step, which you could put a ramp on or anything. So we did our research. We said, all right, we're going to do it. We rented this Airbnb and we got to California. And this Airbnb had deep steps up to the front door and had not one, but many steps up to the back door with a sharp turn and no space for a wheelchair to go. So we ended up having to create this really sketchy wooden ramp with some boards that we had lying around. And that's just one experience of inaccessibility. There are countless all over the world, whether it be in everyday life where there's no button on a building and you have to ask someone else to open the door, or stuff as simple as that.
Yeah, that just seems not okay. Oh, but also some educational resources that I like to use are YouTube videos, because they make it kind of fun. So, like, I watch these YouTubers called Cole and Charisma. Go ahead.
Isn't he a quadriplegic?
Yes, that's it. I didn't know if I could pronounce it correctly.
Or a quad. You can just say a quad.
Okay. Yes, that's it. But what your story kind of reminded me of, like, a vlog they did about, like, their lake house and making it more accessible. I just wanted to share that. YouTubers are a great way to, like, educate yourself in a fun way, you know? Some people don't like reading articles, and that's okay. But do something to educate yourself, you know?
Yeah, I also follow Cole and Charisma. Another big one is Squirmy and Grubs. The guy on that one has the same disability I do. I watch YouTube videos a lot, even when I'm disabled.
Is that the one with the husband named Shane, or the boyfriend?
Yeah, Shane okay. Burkhall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen their videos too. Cool. So we just shared some of our favorite YouTubers. Along with that, you can find educational resources from the ADA, the MDA, etc. We'll leave some links to resources in our footnotes. But I think that's all for today. Madison, would you like to add anything?
I think that's it. Just don't be afraid to talk to disabled people or just normal people sitting in some chairs. That sounded so dumb.
No, I like that. That was cute. But yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Thanks.